The high note of pleasure and pain disturbed my sleep, and I awoke, full of regret. The dream faded fast as I opened my eyes, but the face of my lover as he lifted his head from our deep kiss was Harry's. I suppose I should have been shocked, but instead I merely smiled and sat up in bed. To dream of Harry while the spring was stirring seemed natural and right. We were constantly in each other's company, and I gained more and more pleasure from our comradeship. It was pleasant to walk in the gardens with him. We were planning a shrubbery, and we would take a stake and map out the shape of the paths on the newly turned earth. Then, when the carter came loaded high with swaying trees and shrubs, we spent a glorious couple of days ordering their planting by the three gardeners, and even treading them in, tying, and staking out the branches ourselves. Sometimes we drove up to the downs together. Although I was still forbidden to ride outside the grounds, I'd hunted out an old governess cart and broke my mare to driving so I could range all around the estate and drive as far as the foothills of the downs with Harry riding alongside. I thought sometimes how pleased Papa would have been to see us in such unity on the land he loved. "Are you not tired, Beatrice?" Harry would ask solicitously. And I would smile without replying, and we would stroll together to the top of the downs to look down on the surrounding greening fields and woods, or turn our backs and look southwards to where the sea gleamed like a blue slab in the distance. I started to lose my fear of Harry's superior education, especially when I saw how little he still knew about the land, and I started to enjoy hearing about his books and the ideas that interested him. I could never see what actual difference it made, whether one had an agreement called a social contract or not. But when Harry spoke of the struggle for the ownership of land, and whether land could be owned by an elite of a people, I found my interest suddenly sharpened. He would laugh at me then and say, "Oh, Beatrice, you care for nothing at all unless it relates to Wideacre. What a little heathen you are, what a little peasant." And I would laugh back and accuse him of being so full of ideas that he could not recognise wild oats in a wheat crop, which was shockingly true. If there had been more young people in the neighbourhood, we would have spent far less time together. Or if Harry had known more about the land, he would not have needed my company daily. If we had not been in heavy mourning, Harry would probably have spent the previous winter in London for the season, and even I might have been taken to town for a few days. But as things were, we were very much on our own. My returning spirits showed themselves in my better health, and I became once more buoyantly fit, restrained only by Mama, who tried to keep me eternally stitching embroidery by her side in the pale parlour. There was no Papa to come banging in from the stables and rescue me from the tyranny of conventional behaviour now, but I could generally rely on Harry to need my advice for some work on the land. The land missed Papa. Harry was inexperienced and slow to learn how to control the tenants who poached and thieved outrageously. Nor could he organise the villagers' sowing and weeding of our crops. But beside his ignorance, my status grew, and it was very pleasant to be able to order this thing or that thing to be done without confirming an order with the master. I kept thinking how good it would have been if I could have had the land wholly to myself. But it was only ever a passing thought. It was also good to drive down the lanes to the fields with Harry riding alongside, and to look up in the evening and find his eyes smiling upon me. He was no longer the schoolboy home early. He was a man in the first broadening and strengthening of his youth. As for me, every day made me a shade more golden, my eyes brighter hazel, my hair a tinge redder from the sun. Every day as I bloomed in the warmth of that especially fine spring, I felt a greater longing for a lover. I pressed my lips together, remembering Ralph's rough, biting kisses, and my body warmed and tingled under the black silk of my morning dress when I remembered his intimate, shameless probing.